I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. We'll be looking at the first chapter. I do know what time it is, if anybody was wondering, if I knew. I've reinforced it by borrowing Holden's watch. So if any of you have any questions, you can call into question his watch. What a wonderful day it is to celebrate with all of these wonderful young people. To me, I just enjoy that. I just enjoyed every minute of that. And we say congratulations to all of you. Let me add to that, all of you high school graduates, adding something a little bit different this year. The ones of you who are actively involved in Youth Aflame are probably all aware of this already. But on the 31st, that's a week from this Tuesday, if you'll let Pastor Austin know, we want to take all of you high school graduates out to dinner on the 31st to California Dreamin'. But if you don't sign up and let us know, we won't know that. So high school graduates, we want to take y'all out to dinner on the 31st. So see Pastor Austin about that, and we just want to continue that celebration. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know are established in this present truth. This morning, I want to share a message that I've titled, Hanging by the Thread. Hanging by the Thread. Years ago, Dr. Carl Menninger wrote a book, and the title of his book says, Whatever Became of Sin. Whatever Became of Sin. And in Dr. Menninger's book, his purpose and what he was trying to communicate was not that sin had disappeared, but that how we addressed it in culture had disappeared. That we had changed the names of sin and we were calling it something else. Maybe, perhaps, to that individuals would make them feel better about their life or whatever was going on. But the whole concept of virtuous living has become alien in our culture. In 1991, Dr. Mark Rutland wrote a book titled Hanging by a Thread. And this is where I've got the title today. He asked the question in this book, whatever happened to virtue? Whatever happened to virtue? The whole concept of virtuous living has become alien in our culture as well. The reality of what virtue really means has become almost as a foreign language to many people. In our society, there's been a tendency to think that virtue is just a quality desirable for women. I've even noted what, even in the church world a lot of times, when we address the word virtue, it's most of the time referring to a woman that we look at as being a virtuous woman. And we might even go to the Proverbs 31 to talk about the virtues of a virtuous woman. But men are somehow, in our society, above these sissy notions. And really, there's a lack of understanding of what virtues are and what virtue means. Even more, the word has become almost a lost word and concept in our culture. Over the last number of years, most of us have noted that have passed schools and have had children in school or just passed by signs in front of the school, that there'd be a character word that they would put on the sign. It might be a word like honesty, another perhaps loyalty or another word, courtesy. We might think of any of those. And it surely is a wonderful, wonderful initiative by the school system to emphasize these things that are virtuous. And so the attempt of the schools are to bring value to these words. That ultimately these values would be things that each one of the children would take hold of as a value in their life. That they would understand that word and understand its value and its meaning. But there's a problem. You see, because there's a great misunderstanding between the value of something and the virtue of something. The real problem is the word values has been hijacked in our culture. What people attribute value to, what they attribute honor to, weight to, what they consider as being important is often sometimes misconstrued and misunderstood, and people have such a varying array of thoughts when it comes to what is valuable. It's like what Tony Campolo said in a book title many years ago, Who Switched the Price Tags? And he tells a story of him as a young boy, him and a friend, sneaking into the dime store and switching all the price tags around. Putting the things of high value, putting a cheap price on them, the things that had a cheap price on them, putting a high price tag on it. Who switched the price tags? And that's the way it has come in our culture, where things of value are many times devalued. The things that should be held in lower esteem are held in high esteem. And when it comes to this thought today that the apostle of the Peter brings to us in 2 Peter here, as we have read, he mentions the word virtue on a couple occasions here. In fact, he said in verses 5 through 7, he says, add to faith virtue. And so I want us to look at that today. You see, value is knowing what is right. Knowing what is right. So, I'll give you an example. We could say right now the word adultery. And just think about it for a moment, that there are many people who, when they see that word, they understand the meaning of that word and they know that adultery is wrong. But that does not mean that they might not have or will commit adultery. I know I picked a big word right out of the beginning, but the point being is, you see, the difference between value and virtue is this. Value is knowing what to do. Virtue is doing the right thing. And so it's got to be more than just a word. It's got to be more than what a word that I know the definition of. It's got to be more than a word that I know that it has a lot of value. There's got to be that that has more than value, but it has a virtue that we understand is a do word. It's what I do with my life. A virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 is a doer of virtuous and right and good things. And so I want us to understand today this reality of knowing the difference between what to do and doing it. Because this is the essence of what it means for us to be Christians and to live forth a Christian life. Here in this world, we see up on the screen today the threading of a needle and this thread going through the end of this needle. But what I want us to see is here, we look here and we look at the frailness of that one thread. The frailness of it. And in our culture today, it seems that we are hanging by a thread. The ideals, the things that are important in our culture, and the unraveling of the fabric that holds everything together, which is our faith, and is a belief in God, it's a belief in the honor of God, and the Judeo-Christian ethic that we've learned from the Holy Scriptures that has been really permeated throughout our society, throughout history. Yet we come to our in a time and place in our day where that view is a very minority view. It's a view that will cause one to be ostracized. It's a view that will put you on the fringe and not in the mainstream. It's a view that will cause you to be somebody that's viewed as an extremist. Did you know today, by coming to church, you're extreme? Just by getting up and coming to church. By it being a priority for you to be at church today, you some weirdo extremist. There's some people would say that about you. Just tell the person next to you, I knew you were weird anyway. And so our culture is hanging by a thread, just like my second button. This jacket always seems to get in that. It doesn't matter how many times my mom or Sherry might have worked on this. It's going to ravel down that one thread. But that's how life so much of it is. But the Scriptures are teaching us that we need to understand what virtue is. And so today really is the beginning of a series on hanging by a thread. And I just want to address this word virtue today. You see, values is knowing what is right. But having values is not enough. James 4:17 says, He that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I want you to hear that. He that knoweth to do right but doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin. So it's got to be more than just knowing the word. It's got to be more than knowing the character word. It's got to be more than knowing the concept. It's more than just understanding what it means. It's got to translate over into what I do, how I live my life. Where values is knowing what is right, virtue is doing what is right. It's doing. Virtue is civilized behavior. It's how we live our life out in a culture and in light of Christianity. It is to show love. It is not to be one who is bringing about using destructiveness. I mean, it's not living my life just trying to survive and take advantage of whatever I need to take advantage of, whether it hurts anybody else or not, just to get me through. But I'm living my life life in such a manner that would be pleasing to the Lord, but it would be showing forth the love of God everywhere I go. It's virtuous. It is kind. It is peace. It is loving. Paul's dilemma in Romans, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 14. You know the scriptures that, and I'm not quoting it directly, but where the Apostle Paul said, the thing that I wanted to do, I could not do. The thing that I didn't want to do, I ended up doing. He was describing this language. This description of the battle between the flesh and the spirit. What he's really describing to us, and I was listening to Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Austin talking about this week, really what the apostle was talking about, he's not saying that he's doing a bunch of sinning at this point. We understand that the apostle Paul was a saved man, was a man who lived for God. He wasn't saying there that it's all right to not do the right thing. What he's saying is it's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. He's saying it's got to be more than what you know. There's got to come a time that you do what you know is right. Because the flesh is always going to inform you to do the wrong thing. How many know that? How many know that? You see, virtue is not our instincts. My instincts tell me to hit somebody back. You know what I'm saying? Your instincts tell you, man, I'm hungry. And then if you don't get fed a little while, you take on a bad attitude. That's what the flesh does. I mentioned it this morning. Sherry, when she's hungry, she's fine. But when she enters into hungry, you better go find something to eat. She's pointing at me. You see, because our flesh, when it says you hungry, it says something about to go down. Something's about to happen here. But what we understand, we're not to misunderstand our instincts. Our instincts in our flesh is not necessarily virtuous. And we can easily make excuses for our flesh. Well, that's just the way I am. Well, if the way you is ain't right, it's not a virtue. And here he's saying, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith that is praiseworthy. And so it is. I want you to see right here that we don't have to gratify this flesh. We don't have to gratify our sinful natures, our instincts. We don't have to let our instincts control how we speak to other people, how we respond to various situations. We don't do that. And you say, why not? What's the big deal? Well, we understand the big deal is that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I am to project Jesus to this world. But you say, how can I make it? How can I do this? I'm just human. I say then, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. My instinct says, I'm going to respond to you. You did something negative toward me. I'm going to respond to you in kind, but not kind. I'm in the same. And so, but it's saying here, that might be what you wish to do, but if you are led by the Spirit, You're not under that kind of law. You're not under the law of sin and death. You're under a new system. You're under the Spirit of the Lord that will guide you and lead you to help you make decisions. And so I say to every graduate and every one of us in this room that God needs a people that will be virtuous. You see, these things need to become, virtue needs to become who we are. Virtue is not to be what happens once in a while in my life. It is the course of action that we are to take and to form into a habit of our life. It is our disposition, what we do without much thought. That's what He wants it to become. He wants it to become a part of who we are. Not something we have to strain out, but it becomes a natural part of who we are to be led by the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. We'll turn to somebody and say, walk in the Spirit. So virtue is the quality of doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong. And let me just say to you that we need to develop virtue. We need to develop it. Virtue is the foundation of character. Charles Reeder wrote this, "Sow a thought, reap an action. Reap an action, sow an action. Reap a habit, sow a habit. Reap a character, sow a character. Reap a destiny." Habitual right action is virtue, Mr. Reeder is correct in saying. And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us how to develop character. There in Philippians 4, 8, it says, "Think on those things which are praiseworthy. Those things that are of a good report. Those things that lead to godliness." You see, he's wanting us to understand that what we think on impacts how we live our life. Considering every graduate here, every person in this room, and as Christians today, this world is in need of you and I being able to live a life that people will be able to see Jesus in us. And may I say this, young person, and may I say it to every adult in this room, do not compare yourself to other people in this room. You compare yourself to Jesus Christ. You look to Him and say, "Lord, I want to be more like Him." But let me say this though. If we are following Jesus, it's okay for somebody to follow us. If we're following Him, because the apostle said, "Be an imitator of me as I am an imitator of Christ." If you and I are imitating Christ, and if somebody imitates us, they'll be okay. But if they start imitating me, and I'm gratifying the sins of the flesh, and I'm gratifying myself, and I'm acting out according to my instincts, I'm going to run them aground somewhere. And so what I'm saying to all of us in this room, let's not live our life hanging by a mere thread, but may we hold to the strong arm of God who will not ever disappoint us, but will lead us to victory upon victory, from success, to the glory of God the Father. But you know what? You've got to get a hold of your thinking. You've got to think on those things of God, those things that will lead to godliness and spirituality, those things that will feed the spirit man within us and not gratify the flesh. We've got to develop those things, but it begins with our thinking, because out of the abundance of the heart, we know that our actions will proceed. And it says, whatsoever a man thinks, so is he. That's what we will become. If we want to become all that God wants us to be, then we're going to have to let that be that we feed upon in our life and focus upon and think. And so we not only need to develop it, we need to demonstrate virtue. In Hebrew, the word for virtue is chayil, which literally means strength. It means strength. Virtue. It is translated as virtuous, valiant, and other ideas in which a person is strong. In Greek, the word virtue is arete, which is translated as manliness, valor, excellence, or praise. Do you remember when Jesus was walking and there was a woman with an issue of blood? She was hemorrhaging. She was bleeding. She touched the hem of Jesus' garment. When she touched the hem of His garment, the Scripture says that virtue, Jesus stopped. He said, virtue has come out of me. You see, strength came out. And what happens, we demonstrate, you see, what comes out of us is what really makes a difference in this world. And what we want coming out of us is strength. Not that we become weak. Jesus didn't become weak when strength come out of us, out of Him and to this lady. Likewise, you and I need coming out of our life virtue. We need that is strong, that is godly, coming out of our life. Jesus said it was that comes out of a man that defiles a man. Not what he took in, but what came out of him. And here it's saying virtues are what comes out of us. Whether or not we are living a virtuous life and have virtues in us, that's what comes out of us. How we touch this world, how we minister in this world, how we live our life, we constantly have something coming out of us. What is coming out of our life? You see, He wants us to master some things. And I want to explain what I mean. You see, virtue is used to refer to mastery in specific fields. For instance, a musician that is extremely talented. I mean, they have mastered an instrument. They will be called in our world as being, that person is virtuoso. It uses the word virtue. That they're a virtuoso. Meaning they have mastered the guitar. They have mastered that particular thing. Now, as a trumpet player, in sixth grade, we hadn't mastered nothing. He's just honking around. Honk, 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 honk. I mean, it was just awful sounding. I remember it. I was a kid. I knew it sounded awful. There was things about it. We didn't know how to properly place our lips on the mouthpiece. But you see, Christianity, there's a time when we begin our race and our walk with the Lord where we're just honking around. We're saved. And thank God for it. But there's a lot of things that we have yet to understand and to grasp. What I want us to understand today, that He wants us to become a virtuoso. Not that we have mastered it in and of ourselves, but that we are growing in our understanding of who He is, but more than just the value of the words, the value of the Word of God, but that it'll become a virtue in our life, and the Word of God will begin to come out of me and flow into other people all around me. That's what He wants to do. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that day? That's what He wants for our life. He's wanting us to understand that it's more than just having some good values to live our life by. There's a big difference in that than having virtues in our life that proceed out of our life and transform a culture and makes a difference in this world. You and I are called as the people of God to make a difference in this world, to be people who are virtuous. So we hear today, a people that God is calling upon to serve Him with all of our heart. He's wanting us to live our life for Him, for His glory. He's wanting us to add to our faith. I want you to think about this for a minute. He gave us faith. You and I couldn't even believe in God today if He had not come to us and planted a seed within us through the Holy Spirit. And so He gave us faith, and we had to act upon that faith to put our faith back in Him. We had to let that faith have to begin to work in us. And He said, when you do that, once you've done that, you don't need to stop there. See, a lot of times, sad to say, but a lot of people say, well, I believe in Jesus. And they stop. But He said, add to your faith virtue. Because I want it to be more than what you have a head knowledge of. I want it to be more than what you understand, and you know all the language and you know all the definitions to all the Christian words. You can say all the right things and dress the right way and do all this, whatever that is. I want you to have virtue flowing out of you, even as Christ, even as Him. Will you be an imitator of Christ today? And so when others follow you, they'll follow you to the Master. Let's stand together.